Turn with me this morning in your Bibles to Luke's Gospel, chapter 17. Luke 17. This week as a nation, we get a holiday, Thanksgiving Day. How many know that holiday means holy day? That's what it means, holy day. Day set apart, day when we don't work. For many years in our country, Thanksgiving was a time to thank God. Today, however, we're living in different times. Thanksgiving is being scrunched out by Halloween and Christmas. And now, how many of you remember there were times when there were advertisements when you'd see a nice family join together and they would bow for prayer and it said, be thankful to God. We don't see those anymore. Now you know what you see? Black Friday. Black Friday. In fact, you don't even have to go shopping on Black Friday. You can go on Thanksgiving Day because now all the stores are going to be open on Thanksgiving Day. And this day of thanks to God is just almost just being overlooked totally. How many of us are grateful that Thanksgiving is not a holiday for the Christian? It's a lifestyle for the Christian. Thanksgiving. Here in God's Word, there was an event in our Lord Jesus' life when He revealed to us the heart of God in this whole area of our gratefulness to Him. And it came at a time when Jesus was traveling with His disciples. Again, as we've seen throughout our study of the life of Christ, His disciples didn't know what was going to happen next. They were following along like we would, fat, dumb, and happy, and just not knowing what miracle was going to take place, what person was going to come to Jesus. And here is what happened at this time. Luke 17, verse 11. On the way to Jerusalem, Jesus was passing along between Samaria and Galilee. And as He entered a village, He was met by 10 lepers, who stood at a distance and lifted their voices, saying, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. And when He saw them, He said to them, go and show yourself to the priests. And as they went, they were cleansed. Then one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back, praising God with a loud voice. And he fell on his face at Jesus' feet, giving Him thanks. Now he was a Samaritan. Then Jesus answered, were not 10 cleansed? Where are the 9? Was there no one found to return and give praise to God except this foreigner? And He said to him, rise and go your way. Your faith has made you well. Where are the 9? 1 out of 10 returned to Jesus to give thanks. 90% did not in this particular case. Do you think that percentage may be true today? How many want to be a part of the 10%ers that return thanks to God? Very interesting passage here. All 10 were lepers. And something we have to remember, when we picture lepers, normally, this is what I've done over the years, you picture an older person in rags and they're kind of old anyway. You know, lepers came in all ages. Lepers were not just old. Leprosy struck young and old. These 10, some of them could have been young as well as old. All 10 had an incurable disease at that time. Incurable disease. There was no hope for them. All 10 were isolated from society. They had to keep their distance from others by law. They were relegated to leper colonies. They were extremely poor and destitute. They were going to die without any medical care, any medical assistance. Their own family could not go over and take care of them. There was no hospice. There was nothing like that for the leper. Once they contracted leprosy, that was it for their life. They were all isolated. All of them cried out to Jesus for mercy. And you know, as we look at this too, all the lepers didn't cry out in unison. They didn't look at each other and go, 1, 2, 3. Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. No, they were yelling at Jesus. When he walked by, Jesus, Jesus, Master, Master, have mercy on us, Jesus, Jesus. These 10 were yelling at him, crying out to him. That was the scene. Here's Jesus' disciples coming along. They don't know quite what's going to happen there. All 10 were crying out to Jesus. All 10 received a word from Jesus, go and show yourself to the priest. And all 10 were healed instantly by the word of the Lord. Jesus, in some cases, would lay his hand on a leper. But in this case, he just told them to go show themselves to the priest. They knew something. Once you had leprosy, you didn't approach another priest after that. You'd come to the priest in the early stages for him to say, yep, this person has leprosy. But after that, you didn't go. When Jesus said, go and show yourself to the priest, they knew something was going to happen. And in their obedience, they were healed. Now, there's a whole other lesson out of this to see the correlation between miracles and obedience to God. As they went, they were healed. They did what Jesus said, and they were healed. Oftentimes, we're praying for miracles. God is saying, there's things I want you to do. And when we step out, as we go, we see healing. But here, all 10 were healed, but only one returned to give praise. And this person returned with such exuberance, such gratefulness. At a loud voice, he was praising God. He fell on his face. Think of what the disciples were thinking at that time. Falls on his face in the dirt before Jesus and thanking him for the healing in his life. But the other 9, they were gone. Jesus says, where are the 9? Let's look at a couple things here. Number one, thanklessness. Thanklessness. Thanklessness and ingratitude and ungratefulness. Number one is a common attitude of the world toward God. Common attitude of the world toward God. In Romans chapter 1, it says, this reads like what's going on in our country and the hearts of many today. For although they knew God, they did not honor him as God, nor give thanks to him. But they became futile in their thinking, and their foolish hearts were darkened. They did not honor him as God, and they did not give him thanks. Today, there are going to be many people who are going to be having Thanksgiving, but they don't know who to thank. Many will say, we're thankful, but who are you thankful to? Well, I thank my lucky stars. I thank luck. I thank Mother Nature. They don't even know who to thank. How sad is that? Focusing on Black Friday, not being thankful of the God who gives us the ability to go shopping, or the finances to go shopping, or the sustenance in our life, or the ability to live another day. James said, if the Lord wills, you will live, and then you'll do this or that. That's an important verse. The reason we're here today is because God has ordained another day for us to live. That's why we're here today. One little thing could go wrong, we wouldn't be able to go shopping. I mean, some of you know I have back problems. For 35 years, I've suffered with bulging slip discs. And just about four or five weeks ago, I was moving a bed with my son Sam there. And it was heavy. And I said, Sam, one more time. And I slid it over, and that disc slipped on me. I couldn't get up. And it has been bothering me. This is the first Sunday I've come to church without a back brace on. And haven't been able to put my socks on for 2 weeks. I mean, my wife tied my shoes this morning. It is a hassle. It's a hassle, you know. But I'll tell you what, I have no desire to go walking through a mall. That would be like a marathon for me, okay? One little disc gets like an eighth of an inch out of line and the whole body shut down. How grateful should we be that we can even walk? You know, when I can put my socks on, it's a good day to give thanks to God. No, that's all it takes. I can bend over. Praise God. You know, when you have your back out, when you get down on the floor to pick up something, you look for other things to do while you're down there, you know, because that's a long way back up, you know, and you don't want to go back down again. Ungratefulness, common attitude of the world. Also, it's a characteristic of people's attitudes toward God in the end times, in the last days. I mean, you know, we're in the last days. Oh, boy, you got to know. Right now, there are things happening in our world, prophetic fulfillment in our world that shows the coming of Christ is near. But, as it says in 2 Timothy, but know this, that in the last days, perilous times will come. For men will be lovers of themselves. Are we glad we're not there yet? We don't see anybody loving themselves today, do we? You know, if you don't honor God, you're going to love yourself. There's only two ways to go. You're going to serve God or serve self. And there's so much focus on self today, self-improvement, getting your body, what's best for me, what kind of organic foods am I going to need, how much exercise do I need, what do I need to do, and there's just a real focus on our life. Exercise is great, praise God for that, I like to exercise when I can. But that becomes a focus, whole focus, because we want to live long, and we want to be healthy, and we got Botox, and people in their 60s want to look 30, you know, and I have people tell me, I'm fighting old age. Old age is coming, whether you fight it or not, you know. You're going to get old, and you're going to die. None of us are getting out of here alive, right? I mean, it doesn't matter how much time and energy you put into yourself, we're going to go someday, right? People will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, Disobedient to parents. That's an interesting thing in the last days. Going to be an attitude of people. They're not going to respect their parents. Unthankful and unholy. Unthankfulness is going to be a mark of the end times. There's a couple years ago, a husband and wife who had heard about a little town in northern Maryland called Rising Sun. How many have been to northern Maryland? Some in here? Okay, we got a couple here have been to northern Maryland. I hear it's a beautiful place. Well, they had heard about this on a radio program, so they thought they'd drive up to Rising Sun. On their way up there, they came across a road called Thankless Lane. Thankless Lane. And as the husband and wife drove by Thankless Lane, they thought, what a name for a road. How did that name ever come about? Was it some farmer out there? Because it's a beautiful place. I mean, look at that. Thankless Lane got a nice farm scene there. I mean, it's not this kind of place where you'd say there's nothing to be thankful for around here. Who would ever name a lane Thankless Lane? Was it some old farmer who was just ungrateful, grumpy old guy that lived there, and so that's what they were going to name his road? Or was it something that happened that no one gave thanks for? You know, how did that happen? Well, this couple, as they drove by, they looked at each other and said, we will never buy a house on Thankless Lane. That's one road we don't want to live on, either literally or spiritually, okay? Do you think people are living on Thankless Lane today? Building our house, our home, our lives on Thankless Lane. How sad is that? There is so much to be grateful to God for. Why are people thankless? There's a lot of reasons for that. Number one, forgetfulness. Sometimes we forget to give thanks. The 9 lepers who left, they forgot about God. Why did they forget? Well, they were probably pretty exuberant about their healing. Can you think about that? These 10 are going, and all of a sudden they're looking at each other. They're changing. Their faces are changing. Some of them may have lost parts of their limbs. All of a sudden the limbs have grown out. They may be giving high fives to each other on the way to the priest. Look what's happened to us. There's exuberance. Now we can get back to our families. Now we can get back to our jobs. Now we can worship in the temple again. Whoa! You know? I mean, they're stoked, but they forget to give thanks. They had such a miracle that Jesus just forgot, maybe. Except for one. He turned and ran to Jesus. So forgetfulness. Life gets busy. How many times do we ask God for things? Lord, give me wisdom in this situation. And God does. Do we take time to say, thank you, Lord, for that answer to prayer? Oh, help us, oh God. Protect us on a trip, you know. Give us those traveling mercies. Guard and protect us. We get to the end of the trip. Hey, we made it, kids. Forget to give thanks to God. You know, heal us, oh God. Give us direction in this situation. Give me strength for today. Get to the end of the day, you realize you made it, but forget to give thanks to God. Forgetfulness is a reason oftentimes for unthankfulness. Also, attitude of entitlement could be a reason for thanklessness. People who have an attitude of entitlement, like I'm entitled for things in this world, are very ungrateful people normally. Because how many know if you have that attitude, you will never have enough? You feel like you always deserve more. Last night before I went to Saturday night service, I saw a commercial on TV, and it was talking about health care. The line that was used several times in that commercial was, you deserve health care. You deserve health care. You've worked hard. You deserve health care. And I thought to myself, do I really deserve health care? There are a lot of people in the world who don't have health care. Most of the people in the world do not have health care. Am I really entitled to health care? No. No. If we feel like we're entitled to anything, we're going to slip into ungratefulness. Really, God doesn't give us what we deserve. If He did that, what would we get? Judgment, that's what we would get. God gives us what we don't deserve. Love, grace, life, healing, forgiveness. Does anybody deserve those things? No, we don't deserve that. God gives us that as a blessing. The amenities we have are blessings from God. They're not what we deserve. People who feel like they deserve that are going to have a real difficult problem in the next few years in America. But those who understand that everything I have is God's, and if the whole healthcare system falls apart, God is still my healer, and He's still my provider. They will walk through this time with joy and peace. Okay, But it's easy to get caught up in that attitude. It's easy to thank God for the good things, but not the troublesome things in our life. Procrastination, the reason for unthankfulness. Well, I was going to get around to it, but didn't make it. Distractedness is a reason for thanklessness. We get easily distracted. You know who else gets easily distracted? Children get easily distracted. We have a lot of kids in here. It's easy to get distracted as kids. You know, I know when I've had little children, sometimes they'll be crying and all I have to do is give them an Oreo. And they go, oh, Oreo. I mean, here the tears are coming down. All of a sudden, ooh, okay. So, I mean, very easily distracted from the matter at hand here. And sometimes, not in any of the children in this church, I'm sure. But you know, parenting can be a real thankless job. It can be very thankless. We've had 6 children. I cannot remember a time, this might just be our home, okay, I understand homes are different. I can't remember a time when my kids got up in the morning and they said, Mom, thank you for getting up so early. I can't believe you get up this early and you have breakfast for us. And Mom, the house is so clean. Boy, you must work. Thank you for all the time that you put in, the hours that you put in. Dad, thank you for going to work and then I have a paycheck. You know, and I got money. We got food in the pantry. We are so grateful for our parents. That didn't happen in our home. That didn't happen. Okay. Children sometimes aren't grateful. Aren't we glad we're all adults? Sometimes we take God's blessings for granted. These kinds of things produce thanklessness in our life. Thankfulness is an attitude. Thanksgiving is a lifestyle for the Christian. That's why we titled this Thanksgiving. This year, when you celebrate Thanksgiving, think about Thanksgiving, because that's the kind of attitude God wants us to live with. Thanksgiving. That means being grateful all the time. Can we be grateful all the time? I see a few heads saying yes. The rest are going, I'm not sure, okay? Well, let's look at some of these scriptures here. Thankfulness glorifies God. Glorifies God. What does glorify God mean? It means displaying His splendor. Whatever you do, whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. That's for the display of His splendor, so others can see what a great God we serve. It says here, the one who offers thanksgiving as a sacrifice glorifies me. And to him who orders his way aright, who does what I tell him, who follows my word, I will show the salvation of God. There's the action that goes with that. But thanksgiving glorifies God, honors God, tells other people we're trusting in God. Have you ever been praying over food at a restaurant? Have someone come up and say, boy, that really encourages to see you praying. That's happened to me many times. There are other people in the restaurant that probably are thinking, look at those people praying. Well, they must be Christian. I feel sorry for them. They just feel like God's going to strike them down with lightning if they don't say their prayers. And there are probably all kinds of criticism because they don't understand. But we give thanks for our daily bread because God provides for us in abundance. Thankfulness also magnifies God. I will praise the name of God with a song. I will magnify Him with thanksgiving. Thanksgiving magnifies God. What happens when we magnify something? It enlarges. We begin to see God and His greatness more clearly as we're grateful to Him. Okay? And as we've said many times here, and some of you may not have heard this, but whatever has our focus is magnified. It's just a fact of life. If you have a fear of something and you're thinking about that, that thing just gets magnified. I've had a couple of my children have arachnophobia, and they'll see a little tiny spider in the corner, and that thing just starts growing as they focus on them. Pretty soon it's the African tree spider that's 18 inches wide, and it's going to eat them. Whatever has our attention is magnified. If there's a hurt, somebody has hurt us, and we focus on that, that wound just grows. It just consumes our thinking. Any offense we focus on, any fear we focus on, any uncertainty of the future. If you're afraid and have anxious thoughts over the future, and that takes your attention, that will just grow. It hasn't even happened yet. And all of a sudden, the anticipation kills you. I've got a couple of children, whenever they have something to do, doing it's not the problem. It's the anticipation of doing it that just wipes them out. Whatever has our attention gets magnified. So when God has our attention, guess what? We see Him in all of His glory and splendor. Praise and thanksgiving magnifies the Lord in our life. Also, thankfulness indicates trust in God in every situation. It displays trust in God. When we're grumbling, when we're complaining, that's a displaying to others that God is not faithful. It's like advertising the unfaithfulness of God. But when we're grateful, in all circumstances, it indicates trust. Here's what it says in 1 Thessalonians. Give thanks in almost all circumstances. There's a word in there that's not there. How many wish it would say almost? Wouldn't that be easier? And we could pick and choose. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. If anybody ever asks you, what's the will of God for my life? Go right to that passage right there. Because we know one thing. We don't know all that is in God's will, but we do know thankfulness and gratefulness is the will of God for us and in every situation. It's easy to give thanks to God when things are good. But can we really give thanks to God when things are bad? Is it possible? Is God being unreasonable here? No. If we focus on Him, if we grow in our understanding of His greatness and His awesomeness, that's a lifestyle. It's thanksgiving. Turn with me, 2 Corinthians chapter 12 gives us insight into how and why we give thanks in all circumstances, even the painful ones. 2 Corinthians 12, Paul is talking about an incident in his own life because God had revealed so much to the Apostle Paul about life, about his character, even about heaven. Paul had great revelations. So in verse 7, 2 Corinthians 12, here's what Paul says. So to keep me from becoming conceited, would Paul ever become conceited? Why would anybody want to become conceited? Because it's part of our nature. We all wrestle with conceit. All of us do. It's part of the sin nature. To keep me from becoming conceited because of the surpassing greatness of the revelations, a thorn was given to me in the flesh. A thorn in the flesh. You know, thorns hurt. Back where I come from in southern Colorado, they had these little goat's head thorns. Those things would give your bicycle flat tires if you went through a patch of them. And to step on those, which I did many times, it hurt. What would it be like to have a thorn you couldn't get out? Constant pain. A thorn was given me in the flesh. Most scholars would say possibly had a physical affliction of some sort. A messenger of Satan. A thorn was given to me in the flesh, a messenger of Satan to harass me and to keep me from becoming conceited. So whatever this was in his life, it was harassing him. It was something that he wanted out. In fact, it goes on to say, three times I pleaded with the Lord about this, that it should leave me. Have you ever prayed that God would get you out of a situation to relieve you of something that was just vexing you and bothering you and hurting you? We plead with God and nothing happens? You know, does that mean God's not listening? Does that mean He doesn't care? How many times we say, God, don't you care that I'm going through all this pain? Of course He cares. He always cares. So what's going on? Well, God reveals something to Paul in this situation. When Paul pleaded with the Lord, here's what God said. But He said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Paul, you're praying for my power in your life. This is how it happens. I bring you to the end of yourself, and then I pour out my Spirit on you, and your power is perfected. So when Paul realized this truth, then he says, therefore, I will boast all the more gladly of my weaknesses, so that the power of Christ may rest upon me. For the sake of Christ, I'm content with weaknesses. That word in the Greek is infirmities. That's physical weaknesses. Insults. Hardships, persecution, and calamities. I'm content, for when I'm weak, then I'm strong. How can we give thanks in all situations? Because we know that the grace of God and the power of God is released in our lives, and grace is all of God's resources at our disposal. Everything that He has gives us the strength for any situation that we need as Christians. Is that something to be grateful for? Yeah, can we be grateful in all situations? Yes, because God is always working. And the next verse here is Ephesians chapter 5, because thankfulness acknowledges God's sovereignty over all areas. Not only does it indicate our trust in Him, but it indicates that we understand He is sovereign. That means He rules over everything. This is my personal feeling, nothing comes into my life or our lives as Christians that is not ordained or allowed by God. Nothing. God allows everything because He could protect us from everything. He protected Job from everything. God even protected Nebuchadnezzar, a heathen. And Sennacherib, what a name. No wonder that guy had a nasty disposition. The Assyrian king, God protected them because even though they were heathens, they were instruments in the hands of the Lord. God can do that. He is sovereign over everything. So it says there in Ephesians, giving thanks always and for everything to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. So it's one thing to give thanks to God in all circumstances. It's a whole other thing to give thanks to God for all circumstances. That's another level of gratefulness to the Lord. Give thanks always and for everything. For everything. How can we give thanks for everything? The trouble that comes into our lives? Turn with me to Romans chapter 5. As we've said many times here, my opinion means nothing. God's opinion means everything, right? Here's what God says about this. Can I give thanks for everything? All right. The only reason we can give thanks for every troublesome situation in our life is because we know something. And that's just what it says here. Romans 5 verse 1. Therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. And through Him we have obtained access by faith into this grace in which we stand. And we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. How many of us rejoice in the hope of the glory of God? I do. Man, come Lord Jesus. Display Your glory. Display Your splendor. I rejoice in that. But then it goes on, more than that, we rejoice in our sufferings. How can we rejoice in our sufferings? More than the hope of the glory of God? You've got to be kidding me. That's our first response. And this word sufferings in the Greek, philispis, means pressure that comes into our life. Actually, the root word is pressure. The pressures of life, financial pressure, job pressure, family pressure, that just we want to get out from under that. How can we rejoice in these things? How can we be thankful for these situations? Because we know something. And that's the next verse. Knowing that these pressures of life, these tribulations, some of your Bible says, this trouble produces something in us. Produces endurance. Hupomenein means to stay under for a long time. This word in the Greek means to be able to endure. That's why it's called endurance. It's like the kind of staying under that a diver with a snorkel is able to go down. You know, if someone holds their breath for 30 seconds, that's a long time for most of us. But for 3 minutes, 3 or 4 minutes, that's amazing. And these divers can go down for 3 or 4 minutes and just enjoy all the coral down there, holding their breath. Whew. Why? Because they've trained themselves to stay under for a long time. That's this word right here. God, the sufferings of life, the pressures of life, produce endurance in us. And there's no other way, to produce endurance in our life except through trouble. And trouble that is sustained. That's why it's important to understand this. Because when we're praying and pleading with God, God, take this out of my life. Please get this, get me out of here. And He doesn't. He's got something He wants to develop in us. Many times it's as a result of answer to prayer. Lord, I want to be more like You. Okay, I'm glad. Here we go. Suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character. Christ-like character, integrity. And character produces hope. In the Greek, hope, elpis, does not mean wishful thinking. And when we say hope in the English language, it's wishful thinking. Well, I hope it snows a couple feet so I can go ski powder. Or I hope it doesn't snow so I can get, because I'm working outside, and I hope this, hope that. We're talking wishful thinking. The Bible, when the Bible says hope, here's the definition in the Greek. Confident expectation of good. That's what the Bible definition of hope is. Confident expectation of good. I know, God, even though I don't like the situation I'm in, I know You're going to work it for good. You're always working. I know that. Sometime, some way you're going to work this for good. It might not make sense to me. I wish I was out of it, but I have confidence in you. This is a living hope. And hope never puts us to shame. Some of your Bibles say hope does not disappoint us, because God's love has been poured into our hearts by the Holy Spirit given to us. God is faithful. He's always working. And as Christians, we grow in our understanding of that. So we can give thanks for all situations. Give thanks. I've got a good friend. His name is Tim. And he is now a pastor at the church I grew up in. Tim and I are about the same age. He's about a year older. And when we were young, back in 1975, we met Tim and his wife Eloise at a home group, a life group. And we are, by the way, very strong in our church about people being involved in life groups. That is where relationships grow. That's where you pray for one another. And many of the small groups, Sunday morning, by the way, here is celebration time and learning together. But all the life in this church is through small groups. So if you're here in part, we really encourage you to get involved in those small groups, especially life groups. Well, we were part of one of these home groups for several years. We met Tim and Eloise along with several of us young couples, and we grew together. We had children together, and we've made lifetime eternal friendships with each other. But shortly after we met, probably around 1977, Eloise, Tim's wife, contracted multiple sclerosis. We watched this vibrant, athletic girl start to not be able to function. She went from Tim helping her to a cane, to a walker, to a wheelchair, to be bedridden. And for 20 years, we watched this go down. Tim was always just an upbeat person, just always thanking God. And as soon as Elle started to have these symptoms, Tim just said, oh, God's going to take us through this. He was just so upbeat. And I know that people looked at him and thought, you just wait till it gets worse. You're not going to be so joyful. But that's not what happened. He was always joyful. In fact, today he's still joyful. And I watched Tim care for his wife in the most difficult situation with a smile on his face. And it was not denial. He had a sincere heart joy in the Lord. And whenever you'd see him, Tim, how's it going? He goes, you know what? God has been so good. Al was able to get up today for a little bit. Thank God for it. He always, always had something to thank God for. I never once in those 20 years heard him complain, heard him grumble, being in self-pity. He would say, pray for us. It's not easy, but God is so good to us. Always radiating the Lord. Always. You know what Tim taught me? That thankfulness is not related to our circumstances. It's an attitude of our heart. Giving thanks for all situations. He would say, this is just helping me grow in the Lord. Boy, man, you know. And he cared for her, nursed her. He took his vows seriously for better or worse in sickness and in health. When she was bedridden, had to work her so she wouldn't atrophy. Finally, he had help. And then she went home to be with the Lord. And now, 15 years later, my good friend Tim has leukemia. And he's still joyful. I was just down, saw him about 3 weeks ago. How's it going, Tim? God is so good, Doug. You know, he's just really, he gives me opportunities to share with nurses. And I mean, I just thank God. Always, always thanking God. That guy is just a model for me. Is that possible? Do you have to be in denial? No. He has a relationship with God that carries him through every situation with gratefulness and joy. That's what Jesus is talking about here. Some of you may know people like that too. That's faith in God. That's confidence in God. And by the way, thankfulness is a superior alternative to the other. Foolish talking, grumbling, complaining. Ephesians said, let there be no filthiness or foolish talk or crude joking which are out of place, but instead, let there be thanksgiving. You know, a lot of you on the job right now, there's a lot of nasty jokes going around, crude talking, a lot of angry people. We don't have to join in on that. Instead, let there be thanksgiving. People wonder, what are you high on if you're thankful all the time? What are you smoking? What are you drinking? There has to be something other than God to give you that kind of joy. No, it's just relationship with the Lord. I understand that God is in control of my life and of our country and of our president. And of everything else going on around us in the world. God is sovereign and I rejoice in Him. I rejoice in Him. Like the scripture that was read today. Though there be no Sheep in the stalls, no fruit on the vine. If all the wheels have fallen off the cart, we got nothing, yet I will rejoice in the Lord, Habakkuk says. That is the inheritance of the family of God, because God never changes. Life changes, cultures change, situations change. God never changes, and we rejoice in Him. It's possible. Also, it's a key part to praying. Thanksgiving acknowledges the faithfulness of God. Do not be anxious about anything. Does that include Obamacare? Yeah. But in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. With thanksgiving, that means, Lord, help me in this situation, but I thank you that you always help. Lord, I just give you praise. I need your wisdom. I need your strength, but I thank you that you do give me strength. Thank you that you never leave. Thank you that you're always working. I'm praying for my loved ones here that they'll come to Christ. But thank you, oh God, for your spirit that convinces people concerning sin and righteousness and judgment. Thank you that you're there. All of our prayers are just sprinkled and permeated with thanksgiving because we're growing in our knowledge of God. Nothing is too difficult for Him. And lastly, thanksgiving is an act of our will. It is not tied in to the circumstances around us. It's an act of our will. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in the one body, and be thankful. Be thankful. Lord, I don't feel like thanking, but I'm going to be thankful. Lord, this situation is hard. It's hard to be thankful, but you know, it really isn't, because you're so faithful and so merciful. I can do that. We develop a lifestyle of thanks living. That's what we develop. I remember before I was a Christian, I wasn't thankful for everything. I got mad, got ticked off, just kind of going with everybody else in the world. And when I became a Christian, all of a sudden I grew an understanding in everything I can give thanks. Let the peace of Christ rule in your heart. Oh, let it rule. We already have God's peace. We have to let it rule. Let it go. But Lord, I've watched 2 hours of Fox News. Okay, turn it off. Let the peace of Christ rule in my heart. There's a whole lot of stuff going on around us right now. Can we let God's peace rule in our heart and be thankful? Absolutely. It's the joy of the Christian. It's not some legalistic religious thing we got to do. It's who we are in Christ. Giving God praise. Being grateful. Because, you know, as life goes on and we look back, 2020 vision is always clear, right? Hindsight is always 2020. And we can see as we look back over the years, oh, Lord, you know, I was so troubled by what was going on, but you had great things in store. Look where we are now. God works that way. It's been a tough year for some people, too. People have a lot of losses of loved ones, losses of jobs, loss of securities. But we can either let those things be tombstones or stepping stones in our life. God doesn't want the troubles of life to be tombstones where we die right there and we keep looking back on that as a time when we never recovered. No, there's nothing like that for the Christian. They're stepping stones. We're just on to the next stage that God has for us, with gratefulness in our hearts. And by the way, the word thanksgiving comes from an Anglo-Saxon word. You know what the root word for thanksgiving is? To think. Thanksgiving comes from the word to think. And that's what we want to leave each other with today. Think about what's going on around us. Think about how great God is. Think about all that He has given us. Think about His character, His unchangeableness, His immutability. Think about how good He is to us. It produces the thanksgiving in our hearts. Then Jesus answered, "Were not 10 cleansed? Where are the 9? Where are the other 9? Why didn't they come and give praise to God?" You know, thanksgiving matters to God. It matters to God. He's looking for that. Jesus was looking for that. 90% were not thankful. Where are the 9? And notice what he said here, "Was no one found to return and give praise to God except this foreigner?" You know, in that statement, his disciples are looking at him. He declared his deity. He declared his deity at that point. Was no one coming back to give thanks to God? I'm sure statements like that shocked people around them at that time. But this man came yelling praises to God in a loud voice, fell in the dirt. Imagine what his disciples were thinking. And thanking Jesus for the healing in his life. All the other ones were gone. This man was expressing his gratefulness to Jesus, and it touched his heart. Thankfulness always touches the heart of God. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his steadfast love endures forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. That's what God wants. Let's bow for prayer today, okay? Thank you, Father. No, we give you praise, Lord. Let's just think a little bit this morning on what God's Word says to us. And allow the Holy Spirit to search our hearts, because as soon as we walk out that door, the myriad of things are going to be hitting us, and Satan's going to try to snatch this Word from us. We have an adversary. Let's let God's Word take root in our hearts today. And maybe it's a good time to examine your own heart. You know, maybe you're facing some real challenges right now. Maybe you faced a challenge that seems to keep rearing its ugly head and it's not going away. And you found yourself slipping into depression or anger or hopelessness or frustration and grumbling or complaining. And you realize you really haven't been grateful to God for everything. Now's a good time to say, Lord, forgive me for that. I will be thankful to you. Because you're always working, even when it doesn't look like it to me, because you are faithful. Praise him for his faithfulness and his love, his mercy that's new every morning, his presence, his healing. Thank you for this, Lord. And Lord, for those that have had a difficult time this year, maybe have had some losses in their life, fill that void as only you can with your presence. Let them be able to embrace you at this time. Let them be drawn closer to you. Some of the losses cannot be regained, but what we have in you can never be lost. Let them take comfort in that. And Lord, if there's anyone in this room or listening to this message by another means, and they've never really understood what it meant to embrace Christ as Lord and Savior, you've come to give hope to us. You've come to bring truth and reality to what is truly going on in life, both here and in the hereafter. Maybe you have experience God drawing you to himself, but never responded. Today you can respond by embracing Christ, yielding your life to him. Why would you wait another day? There's no one else that has the words of life but Christ our Lord. And he will forgive you, cleanse you, fill you with his Spirit. He'll take away everything from your life that's not pleasing to him. And he will add everything that he has to you. Thank you for this, Lord. And don't leave this room, if you're in this room, without talking to us about what it means to be a true Christian, a follower of Christ. And now, Lord, we thank you and praise you. We're going to lift this last song to you as an offering of thanksgiving to you today, because indeed you are worthy. Thank you for all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.